Today's shiur is Masechet Shavuos, Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin in Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nishba Levatel is a mitzvah. If somebody made a shvur that he's going to violate a mitzvah, v'loy bitel, and he obviously doesn't fulfill that shvur because he's obviously not allowed to violate a mitzvah. Potter, he is potter. It's not considered a shvur spitui, for which we've learned if somebody does makes such a shvur b'shoigeg, he has a chiv of carbon oil of yoyret. However, the Rishonim do point out, and in fact they explain that is why the Mishnah uses the words potter, not to say that it's entirely not a shvur, for it certainly is in the category of a shvur shav. And therefore, if somebody were to violate the shvur deliberately, the halacha would be that he would be chayiv Malkus. But the Mishnah is teaching us that the din of Shavuos Bitui, that Bishogig, as we have been learning, Yechai, the carbon oil of a Yorid, does not apply to such an individual. Furthermore, I saw that the Rishash points out, as we learned earlier in our Perek, the concept of Koilev, that sometimes if you make a Shavuos, and included in the Shavuos are matters that a shvur does apply to, and also included are matters that a shvur does not apply to, says the, and we've learned that at least according to certain opinions, that is considered a valid shvur, says the Rishash, that here, even if one would make such a shvur b'koilil, the shvur on the part levatel as a mitzvah cannot bring a chiv carbon oil of yoyret. I saw a number of machloikis rishonim and achronim discuss a number of circumstances how to look at this situation. One question that I saw is certainly if somebody makes a shvur to violate a mitzvah that one is obligated to fulfill. For example, the first night of Sukkot, we know one is obligated to sit in the Sukkah. If one makes a shvur levatel to not sit in the Sukkah, as we've been learning, that shvur would certainly not be a valid shvur. But the Mefarshim asks, what would be about a mitzvah kiyumis? Mitzvah kiyumis would be sitting in the Sukkah on the rest of Sukkot, where one is not obligated to sit in the Sukkah. However, one obviously fulfills a mitzvah if he sits in the Sukkah under such circumstances. What would be the case then? The Rambam holds that shvur to mevatel a mitzvah kiyumis is also considered a shvur levatel as a mitzvah. The Rashba disagrees. He says that a mitzvah kiyumis will be mevatel a mitzvah kiyumis is not considered shvur levatel as a mitzvah. Another machloitis rishonim is what would be the halacha if somebody makes a shvur to mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Ritva says that even a shvur to mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanan is not a valid shvur. The Ram disagrees. He says to mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanan is not what is meant here. The Birkas Shmuel discusses an interesting situation. What would be the halacha where one didn't make a shvur directly levatel a mitzvah, but as a result of his shvur, he will be mevatel a mitzvah? For example, he says, let's say somebody makes a shvur that he's going to work every minute of the day. And by working every minute of the day, obviously, he won't have time to put on tefillin. Is that considered a shvur levatel a mitzvah? Interestingly enough, he bases it on a machna frayim, that is considered shvur levatel as a mitzvah. However, then I saw that the Rashba discusses, if someone makes a shvur levatel as a mitzvah, but it won't be that the mitzvah is going to be permanently be mevotel. For example, let's say someone makes a shvur that he won't get married up to a certain time, but he will eventually get married. Says the Rashba that is not considered shvur levatel as a mitzvah. The Rosh goes on to say, a chiddush, the Rosh goes on to say that if someone, when he makes the shvur, is not aware that his shvur is levatel as a mitzvah, He just doesn't recognize and realize that. Says the Rosh that that would not be considered a shvua levatlas a mitzvah. Very big chiddush. Continues the Mishnah. L'kayim, if somebody made a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah, and then v'laikim, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, again, potter. The opinion of the Tanakhama, the opinion of the Rabbanan, is that it's not considered a valid shvua. Here too, there's a machloikis rishonim, how to understand this rule. Some rishonim are of the opinion that the Mishnah is teaching us that it's entirely potter. It's an entirely invalid shvua, and there won't be a chiyuv karbon, it won't violate the shvua b'shagig, nor will there be a chiyuv malchus if he violates it deliberately. However, other rishonim say that again, he's only not it's not going to be considered a shvuas bitui for which there's a chiyuv malchus, a chiyuv karbon, if one violates it b'shagig. But there will be a chiyuv malchus if one violates it deliberately. The Ktzais points out that even we have this machlokes, if there is, if it's a shvua in any sense regarding malchus or not, everybody says the Ktzais is in agreement that if one, that there's an isser involved in violating such a shvua besides the isser of not doing the mitzvah. For says the Mishnah, Shahayi b'din sheichayiv, the argument could be made that one, that this should be a valid shvua, a shvua l'kayim is a mitzvah should be a valid shvua, as Kediv Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira teaches us. What is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's logic? And it's interesting to point out that even though the Mefarshim say that even though we have throughout Shas mentioned many times the concept of Ein Onshim in Adin, which teaches us that based on a kavachomer, just based on the logic of a kavachomer, we cannot establish a punishment for an aveira. Say the Mefarshim, here we're learning through kavachomer. Yehuda ben Beseira is applying a kavachomer to teach us that there is a chiyuv karbon based on a kavachomer. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate. As Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira clearly teaches us, a shvua l'kayim is a mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, is a valid shvua. What would be the halacha regarding what would be the halacha if somebody makes a shvua that he won't be over an isser? Will Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira agree that that too is a valid shvua? That's the opinion of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim suggest that in such a circumstance, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would agree that it's not a valid shvua. So again, I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira makes the following argument. Uma emershus, if it comes regarding something which is optional, she'enem mushba olam har Sinai, we have no previous obligation from the Torah to fulfill that mitzvah. Still, if one obligates himself through a shvua to do something, harehu chayiv olav, he is obligated to follow his shvua. So their mitzvah, and a situation regarding a mitzvah, shumushba la mahar sinai, that we all have obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. If one strengthens that obligation with a shvua, enedin sheichavala, certainly it should be considered a valid shvua. Amloi, say the chachamim to Yehuda ben Beseira loy, your argument is flawed. Because im amarta b'shvus rishus, if a shvus rishus is considered a valid shvua, she can also balav kahein. The shvua can be said in a positive and a negative. A person could say, I will or won't do the act that I'm swearing about. Time b'shvus mitzvah, when it comes to mitzvah, shlo yosaba lav kahein, where there is no option to say, I will and won't do this act. For obviously, shem nishba lebitel, everybody agrees that if somebody makes a shvua to violate the mitzvah, v'loy bitel, and then he doesn't violate the mitzvah, potter, that he's potter, that it's not considered a full-fledged shvua. Says the Gemara of Braisa. And again, as is very common, the Gemara will quote a lengthier Braisa, and then the Gemara will begin to analyze the Braisa. So says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. It says in the Braisa, yochel nishba levatel sa mitzvah. We would think if somebody made a shvua to be mevatel a mitzvah, to violate a mitzvah, v'loy bitel, and then he doesn't violate the mitzvah, yichayiv, we would think that he should be chayiv, he should be liable for violating the shvuah. Tamaloima, the Torah uses the words lahara lahetiv, and the Brisa teaches us ma tavarishus, just like when the Torah speaks about making a shvuah, about doing something good, it refers to optional matters. Af hara, so too when the Torah speaks about hara, it's referring to make to a subject which is optional. Oitzi, so based on this, we will be able to exclude nishbel vatal sa mitzvah, that if somebody, as we learned, made a shvuah that is going to violate a mitzvah, like bitul, and he ends up not violating it, shupater, that he's not considered having violated a shvuah. Yochel, however we would think, says the Braisa, nishbel kaimas a mitzvah, somebody makes a shvuah that he's going to fulfill a mitzvah, v'loy kiyem, and then he ends up not fulfilling the mitzvah, that he should be considered that he violated a shvuah, sheichayiv, tamaloima, lahara lahetiv. The Torah, by putting together the words lahara lahetiv, is teaching us mahara is a rishus. Torah means that it's something that's optional. Afatava is referring to something which is optional. Oitzi, and based on this limud, we are able to exclude also, as the Rabbanan taught us in the Mishnah, that if somebody was nishbal kaim sa mitzvah, that he made a shvuah that is going to fulfill a mitzvah, like kiyem, that a shupater, it is not considered that he violated a shvuah. Continues the Braisa. Yochel, one would assume that nishbal lahara la'atzmai, that if somebody made a shvuah that he's going to cause harm to himself, v'loi heira, and then he ends up not doing harm to himself, yochel, Ye Potter, we would think that it's not a valid shvuah. Tamid loimer lahara olahetiv. The Torah uses the words lahara olahetiv. Ma hatavarishus af hararishus. That any shvuah regarding an optional matter is considered a valid shvuah. And here we have a very interesting machloikis. Machloikis Rishayim, how to understand what the Gemara here is teaching us, and actually has very significant ramifications lahalocha lemaisa. The Taisa says that there's really nothing specifically being taught in this Braisa other than to teach us, says Taisa, the halocha. Other to teach us the halocha, says Taisa, that one can make the one is allowed to harm himself, and therefore making a shvuah to harm oneself is not considered a violation of a mitzvah, and therefore it's a valid shvuah, which comes to teach us, according as we just said, that hurting oneself is not considered hurting himself is not considered, according to Taisus, according to this Braisa, a aveira, a very, very big chiddush. Duran disagrees. Duran says that this Braisa could certainly fall, which is really a machloikus tanoim, but as I said, according to Taisus' understanding, this Braisa is teaching us that hurting one's, this Braisa is following the opinion that hurting oneself is not considered an aveira. Duran says we don't have to say that. Duran says that really we can hold la halacha that one may not harm himself. Just this braisa, since even if we hold that one may not harm himself, there is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that says that one may not harm himself, and therefore since when one makes such a shvua to harm himself, he's not violating an explicit pasuk in the Torah. That's why, says Duran, it's considered a valid shvua. So again, based on this machloikus of the Ran and Taisus, the machloik, according to the Ran, everybody will agree that one may not harm themselves. This Bryce isn't arguing with that. And therefore the halacha would be that a person has to be extremely careful not to do anything that would hurt himself. However, according to the way Taisus explains the Braisa, we clearly have here an opinion that holds that one is allowed to harm himself, and therefore may be that if one harms himself, it's not considered that he has done an aveira. Continues the Braisa, Avi, we've only explained nishbal haras atzmai, that if somebody made a shvur that he's going to harm himself, loher, and then he ends up not doing that, shershus biyadai, that he has a right to harm himself, and that's why the shvur is considered a valid shvur. Yochel, but I nishba lahara lacherim. What would be the halacha if somebody made a shvur that he's going to harm someone else, v'loher, and then he ends up not fulfilling that shvur? That we should say sheichayiv, that it's considered that he violated a shvur. Tamaloima lahara lahetiv matav rishus of haror rishus. And says Taisus again here, it's obvious that a shvur one would make to harm someone else is not a valid shvur, because we already learned earlier in our brisa that any shvur that involves doing an avera is not considered a valid shvur, and that's not what we need the brisa to teach us. Rather, says the Taisus, the reason the brisa speaks about this case is for the next case, because oitzi nishba lahara lacherim v'loihera. We've only excluded a shvur which somebody makes to harm someone else, and he ends up not fulfilling that shvur because she'en rishus biyadai. For as we just explained, no one has a right to harm someone else. However, menayin l'rabbis hatavos acherim. How do we know that a shvur to do good to someone else is considered a valid shvur? Tamaloimer, the Torah uses the words oy lehetev, the extra oy, as we're going to explain at length later in the Gemara, comes to teach us that such a shvur is a valid shvur. And again, the Rishonim explain, it's not referring to a situation where it involves doing a mitzvah, because we already learned earlier in this brisa that a shvur to do a mitzvah, according to the Tana of this brisa, is not considered a valid shvur. It's referring that I make a shvur to give someone a gift, which I'm not obligated to give. It's referring even to give a poor person a gift in a situation where it's more than where there is no chiyuv tzedakah to give that gift. What is the situation of doing bad to someone else which has been excluded? If someone says akes plenty, he's going to hit someone else, etzes maikai, he's going to split his skull, all of those are considered an shvur to make an avera, an unacceptable shvur. So the Braisa has said that because the Torah compares hara to hatava, that's how we know that the Pasuk is referring to shvus that are referring to rishus, that are referring to optional matters. Ask the Gemara to analyze what the Braisa says. How do we see that the Pasuk is indeed speaking about optional matters? Dilma, perhaps, b'dvar mitzvah ksivi. Maybe the Pasuk is talking about mitzvahs, and the Torah is teaching us that even in such a circumstance, the shvur is a valid shvur. Answers the Gemara in explaining the brisa, loy salka daitach. The binan, the hatova dum yud hara, v'hara dum yud hatova. The Torah, because it puts lahara lahetiv next to each other, says the Gemara, the Torah by putting lahara lahetiv next to each other is teaching us that which we should, the binan hatova dum yud hara, v'hara dum yud hatova. They have to be the same. And as the Rishonim explain what the Gemara is saying, the Rishonim say what the Gemara is now saying is that the entire and only difference between a shvur which is in the category of hara versus a shvur which is in the category of atava is not in the purpose of the state of the shvur, what one is trying to accomplish with the shvur, but the entire difference is limited just to the manner, the way the shvur is pronounced, where the shvur that's for hatava is pronounced in a positive manner, and the shvur of hara is pronounced in a negative manner. But everything else, the goal, the purpose of the shvur are identical. And therefore, says the Gemara in explaining what it just said, akish hara latava. We said that the shvur hara and the shvur hatava are the same. Ma hatava. And what is the situation of hatava? It can't be a shvur or bittul mitzvah. If one makes a shvur, for example, that I'm going to eat chametz on Pesach, where one could perhaps argue that there is a level of benefit in such a shvur, because I'm going to eat, it's certainly also, but that shvur cannot be considered atava, because eating chametz on Pesach is an aveira. So hatava, that can't be a shvur of atava. Af hara, so similarly, an shvur to violate a mitzvah can't be a shvur, for example, that I won't eat matz on Pesach, because that shvur accomplishes only bad. First of all, you don't get food to eat, and second of all, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of you do an aveira of eating. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach. So if the Torah, as I just said, is makish hara and atava, if hatava means that the purpose of the mitzvah, of the purpose of the shvur, is to do good, hara also means that the purpose of the shvur means to do something good. I just said it in a negative fashion. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then hara gufa hatavihi. What does the Torah have to say? Lahara lahaitiv. Lahara lahaitiv are actually essentially identical. They're both teaching us that you could only say a shvur that lahara lahaitiv, that has a tachlis of doing good. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vakish, as we said, the Torah compared hatava lahara. Now mahara, so now the Gemara begins with the other way. Nahara cannot be referring to shvur of being mekayim a mitzvah, of fulfilling a mitzvah, because you can never say that fulfilling a mitzvah is doing something bad. Mahara cannot be referring to situation for being mekayim a mitzvah. In other words, let's say somebody made a shvur that's going to eat matzah on Pesach, so that certainly is not hara. Number one, you're getting food to eat, and number two, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Af hatava, so if hatava also can't therefore be by kima mitzvah, because we just said that the goal of the shvur has to be a similar goal, and if the goal of if the shvur of hatava would mean that I make a shvur that I'm going to eat matzah on Pesach, we already said that that's not considered a valid shvur, because making a shvur to eat chametz, to eat matzah on Pesach, cannot be called hara. So back again with the same question: if so, hatava gufa haroihi. So then they're exact same, the hatava and the hara. And why did Torah have to speak about a shvur that's both hatava and hara, if everything that we're going to include in hatava we could already learn from the word hara? Ask the Gemara, if you're going to follow this line of reasoning, you can make the same argument if you say the pasuk is referring to dvar rishus, that the Torah is speaking about optional subject. You'll always have the same question. Why does the Torah have to say hatava and hara? For example, if somebody will make a shvur that he's going to eat something, then obviously, and that can be considered hatava, because he made a shvur to eat something. But then that can't be in the category of hara, because how can we say making a shvur to eat something healthy is hara? And if we're saying that the Torah was makish hatava and hara, that they have to have the same purpose, and hatava means a shvur that accomplishes something good, and therefore hara cannot mean a shvur of anything other than that. So how could we have a case even by dvar rishus that the shvur is a valid shvur, if you're going to follow this line of reasoning? Ella, says the Gemara, how do we know that the Torah, when it speaks about, it says that a shvur is only valid regarding a dvar rishus, going back to another halacha that we learned in the Braisa? The Braisa said oi, and we use the word oi in the Braisa l'rabbis atavas acherim, that if somebody makes a shvur to do good for someone else, as I said, not in a mitzvah related subject, it's a valid shvur. Shmamina, that's a raya that the pasuk is referring to dvar rishus sivi. These are kedatech. If we're going to say that the pasuk is referring to dvar mitzvah ksivi, and that the pasuk is teaching us regarding a dvar mitzvah, hashta, we can make the following argument. If haras achreirim, if we already learned that doing bad to someone else, if we're going to say is considered a valid mitzvah, hatavas is a valid shvua, hataras achreirim, would we need to say that doing good to someone else is a valid shvua? If doing bad to someone, which obviously involves doing an avera, we're still going to say is considered a valid shvua, then doing good to someone certainly should be considered, which is in a situation of mitzvah, should be considered a valid shvua. The fact that the Torah only knows this from the fact that the Torah used the word oy, the extra word has come to teach us that only optional manners, only dvar reshus are valid shvua, and now we could understand. Haras acherim, which involves doing an avera, as we said earlier, harming someone else is an avera, therefore it's considered a not valid shvua. And now the Bryce is teaching us that the word oy is coming to teach us that to do good for someone else is considered a valid shvua, and therefore it should be considered a shvua. Ask the Gemara v'hai oy. Can we use the word oy to teach us this din? Can we use the word oy to teach us that atavas acherim is a valid shvua, and as a result of that limud, we end up knowing that the Torah is speaking about a dvar reshus? Ask the Gemara, don't we need the word oy to teach us l'chalik, that the Torah says l'hara oy l'hetiv? Because if the Torah would have only said l'hara u'l'hetiv, I would assume that it's only considered a valid shvua when you have both components, l'hara u'l'hetiv. Answers the Gemara, to teach us that the Torah doesn't mean l'hara, that it means either l'hara or l'hetiv, l'chalik, to teach us that like tzarech kra. For now, the Gemara begins to quote a machloikis of Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yishia, where the Torah says two words. Do we automatically understand that oy, that's Rabbi Yonasan's opinion? If that's indeed the case, then the word oy here is extra to teach us that a shvua l'atavas acherim is a valid shvua, and the ripple effect is that we understand that the pasuk is speaking about a shvua of dvar reshus, or do we not learn that way? Again, hanichal Rabbi Yonasan that says the word oy, I would have known lahara oy lahetiv even without the word oy, so indeed the word oy is superfluous. El Rabbi Yishia that needs the word oy, as we're going to see, Mayikal Meimer, the word oy no longer remains extra. If it no longer remains extra, the whole limud, the whole derech halimud that we've attempted, collapses. The Tanya, where do we find the machloikis of Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yishia? The Torah says isha shiyakalo es aviv ves imoy. The Torah speaks about the terrible avera of one cursing a parent, only of el aviv imoy. So if I would read the pasuk, I would say that one only violates this avera if he cursed both parents. Aviv v'lo imoy. Imay v'loy aviv. If one cursed the father but not his mother, his mother but not his father, menayin, how do we know that it's considered that he violated this aveira? Tamaloymer, aviv v'imay kilel, aviv kilel imay kilel. The Rabbi Yishia. So Rabbi Yishia is limud as follows. In the first pasuk that we read, the Torah puts the word yikalo next to aviv. In the next pasuk that we just read, aviv v'imay kilel, the Torah puts the word kilel next to the word imay. The Torah, by doing this, is teaching us that one is chayiv for cursing a parent, a father alone, or a mother alone. Divrei Rabbi Yishia. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees. Mash mishneim kechot. The Torah, it can mean, perhaps we could say that the pasuk means that you're only oivid aveira if you curse both of them. Or mash me'echav afneatmai. Or it could be argued that the Torah means each one individual. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, unless the Torah specifies yachtav, unless the Torah tells us explicitly that it means both of them together, we don't explain it that way. So here too, says Rabbi Yishia, going to our Gemara, where it says aviv v'imay kilel, there's no indication that it means both together, and since there's no indication that it means both together, we say that it means each one separately. The same thing by our pasuk. Lahara Lahaitif. Even without the oi, it would mean each one according to Rabbi Ishia. And therefore, the oi is superfluous to give us the Derech HaLimud that we learned. However, the Rishonim, there are Rishonim that suggest that even Rabbi Yonason, who says that when we speak about two matters, it's understood that we mean either or. Rabbi Yonason says the Rabbeinu Pinchas Halevi is a Rishon, that that's only in a case where it's speaking about not doing something. For example, not cursing a parent. But let's say somebody says, I'm going to give so-and-so and so-and-so a gift. There we can't say that he means oi, and even Rabbi Yonason will agree it means both. Furthermore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, where it's obvious that the pasuk means both of them together, Rabbi Yonason will obviously understand, and he gives examples of such psukim that it means both together. But again, the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Yishya, were I not to have the word oi, I would explain the pasuk of lahara lahetiv, that the Torah is teaching us that you need to have lahara and lahetiv. The oi comes to teach us that either one alone is an acceptable way of articulating a shvuah. If so, the word oi is not extra. So how can we learn that it's come to teach us about atavas acherim with the ripple effect that's come to teach us that shvuahs only apply to dvar rishus? I feel ten Rabbi Yishya. This halacha could even follow Rabbi Yishya. Before we go further, Taifas asked the question, if according to Rabbi Yishya, the Torah always means together, unless indicated differently, so why did the Torah have to teach us regarding shatness, the word yachtov, that the Torah says yachtov by shatness, the Torah says yachtov regarding kalim, working with different types of animals, it's obvious, unless indicated differently, that it means both together. So why did the Torah have to write the extra word yachtov? So Taisus and the Rishonim answer that the word yachtov that's mentioned by shatness is to teach us that a garment is only considered shatness if the two different materials are intertwined together, not just if they're there together. Otherwise, one would say that if it's one wearing a wool pants and a linen shirt, which are two separate garments, perhaps it could be considered shatness. And the reason it says yachtov regarding klayim of animals together is only if the animals are actually hitched together to one cart. That's when it's considered kala behema. Otherwise, it's or hitched together by one cart, or actually made it together. Otherwise, it's not klayim. Says the Gemara, even Rabbi Yishya will agree that shvuos do not apply to dvar mitzvah, because Rabbi Yishya, says the Gemara, will agree to what we learned in the previous shir, v'savol k'Rabbi Akiva. He's going to agree with what we learned to Rabbi Akiva. For as we learned in the previous shir, a machloikus Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva had to learn the psukim. And we learned that Rabbi Akiva's opinion was the darush Rabbi Meyute, that he views the psukim as a Rabbi Meyute situation. So says the Gemara, if we'll say that the pasuk is teaching us that shvuos are limited to dvar mitzvah, so the meat of the pasuk is coming to be mat that shvuos do not apply to dvar mitzvah. Ella, if we're going to say b'dvar mitzvah k'siv that shvuos even apply to dvar mitzvah, ma'ikra mat. Even Rabbi Kiva agrees that there's a meat in the pasuk and that the meat is coming to be mat something. What must it be coming to be mat? It's come to be mat that shvuos don't apply by dvar mitzvah. So even if Rabbi Yishya could not agree that we get to this result, that shvuos do not apply by dvar mitzvah from the word oi, because according to him the word oi is not extra, we get to the same result anyway. On Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, so we learned in the Mishnah debate between Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and the Rabbanan, if somebody made a shvuos l'kayim as a mitzvah. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, it can't be that such a shvuah is a valid shvuah, because it's not a shvuah that can be said behein v'lav. It's not a shvuah that I can make that I will or won't do it, because I can't make a shvuah that I won't do a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, v'rabbanan shapur kam l'Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, aren't the Rabbanan making a very good argument against Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira amlach, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira defends himself. He's saying, atah tavas acherim, as we've just learned, when it comes to making sure that I'm going to do good to someone else, that's also shvua. The lav afagav the last of a glala charis acherim. It's not a shvua that can be said as a yes and a no, because although, as we're learning, you can make a shvua to do good to do good for someone else, you can't make a shvua to do someone else bad, because as we've been learning, doing harming someone else, everybody agrees, is an aveira. V'rabbi rachmona, and yet the Torah said it's a valid shvua. So therefore, argues Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, hochinami b'kima mitzvah. I forgot the lace of a bittul mitzvah, even though it's a shvua that one can't make, that I won't do a mitzvah. Still, Rabbi Rachmana, the Torah teaches us that one can make a shvua that he will do a mitzvah. Rabbanan, how did Rabbanan respond? Hosom, regarding doing good to someone else, it's a shvua that can be said isa be'etiv. I can make a shvua that I will do some good for someone else. V'layetiv. I could also make a shvua that I won't give someone a gift. Those are legitimate shvuas. Hacha, but when it comes to mitzvah, me'isa b'layichayim, can one make a shvua that he won't fulfill a mitzvah? Therefore, it's not comparable, and therefore Rabbi Yonan agree say that shvua l'kayim as a mitzvah is not a valid shvua. Says the Mishnah, if somebody makes a shvua shloi oichel kikazu, that I won't eat this loaf of bread, shvua shloi achlena, or shvua that, again, he says a shvua shleichlena, and then he says shleichlena v'achla, and then he eats it and chayv v'la'achas. Only the first shvua is considered a valid shvua, because as we've been learning, once one makes such a shvua, the bread becomes asur, and therefore the other shvuas are not valid shvuas, either because of enes achalal esur or because he's a mushbe v'ayimit. Zui shvuas pitui. These are the situations of shvuas pitui, which, as we have been learning, shechayiv azodayin malchus, the one deliberately violates the shvua, the zechiv malchus, val shigigosoi, and one is violates the shvua b'shagig, the zechiv karmen oil v'yoyrit. A shvua shav, but when one makes a shvua shav, a shvua in vain, as we've been learning, as we're going to learn in the following Mishnah what that means, there the halacha is chayiv azodayin malchus, b'zodin the zechiv malchus, but a shigasoi does not potter. Ask the Gemara. Lamele lemisne shvua shloi oichel shvua shloi achlena. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us that first that he made the shvua I won't, that he used different language? First that he made a shvua shloi oichel, and then he made a shvua shloi achlena. Why was the wording of the second and third shvua different than the wording in the first shvua? Answers the Gemara. What the Mishnah is teaching is like this. It's only because the person said it this way and in this order. The first he made a shvua shloi oichel, and then he said a shvua shloi achlena. That's when the halacha is the loy chayiv el chada, that he's only going to be chayiv for the first shvua. Aval Omar, if he said shloi achlena, that he said he's not going to eat the entire loaf, saying, I will not eat it. And so, therefore, that shvua means that he's not going to eat the entire loaf. By making that shvua, that he's not going to eat the entire loaf, that means part of the loaf, he is allowed to eat. So therefore, when he makes another shvua, shloi oichel, which as we've been learning already from the beginning of these sugyas, means that he won't even eat a kezias of this. So the second shvua is actually not a repetition or a redundancy of the first shvua. And therefore, mechayiv tarti, then he will be chayiv two shvuas, k'deravah, as Rava taught us. Because the second shvua is more prohibitive than the first shvua, and therefore the second shvua is chal. Dama Rava, as Rava taught us, if somebody made a shvua shloi oichel kikazu, if somebody made a shvua that he won't eat this kikar, the halacha is kivish ochel men a kezayis, as soon as he eats a kezayis of that kikar, he's chayiv. But if he made a shvua shloi achlena, then he's chayiv in a chayiv elat shiachlena kula. So therefore, the Mishnah teaching us these different wording of the shvuas is teaching us very relevant halachas. It's only because the person first said shvua as the Mishnah said, Shvua Shloi Oichel. They's not even eat a kezayis of the kikar. Therefore, making the second Shvua of Shloi Echlena really doesn't accomplish anything. And that, therefore, the second Shvua is a meaningless Shvua. Machloikis Rishonim, if there will be a chiyuv for Shvua Shov on that second Shvua. The Rimigash says that the second Shvua will not be considered a Shvua Shov. The Rambam seems to learn that there will be a chiyuv for Shvua Shov, because the Shvua, as we just explained, is a totally meaningless Shvua. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that this Gemara, we discussed earlier in our Masechta, a question. Earlier in our Masechta, we discussed, if somebody makes a Shvua on a shear, will there be a concept of Chatzi shear in that circumstance? Say to Mefarshim, from our Gemara we see that there is no concept of Chatzi shear. Because if the halacha were that if I made a Shvua that I'm not allowed to eat this loaf of bread, I'm not allowed to even eat part of the bread, so why is our Gemara saying that a Shvua Shloi Oichel is valid after I made a Shvua of Shloi Echlena? Shvua Shloi Echlena, we're saying, also includes Chatzi Shir. It must be from here we see that if I made a Shvua that I'm not going to eat a loaf of bread, there is no concept of Chatzi Shir, and anything less than the loaf of bread will not be considered a violation of the Shvua. The Mishnah said, Shvua Shloi Echlena V'Achla, if somebody made a Shvua that I won't eat a loaf of bread, and then he eats the loaf, even though he made the Shvua numerous times, the Mishnah taught us Ein Chayv Alachas. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to speak about the third Shvua? The same concept that we've been learning could have been taught by speaking about one Shvua. Two Shvuas, I mean. Hasulamali, to teach us Hakamashmalon, Chiyuvahu Deleka. It's only to teach us that there's no Chiyuv, no punishment for the violation of the second Shvua. Hashvua Ika, which means to say that the Shvua does indeed remain in place. Which means, Dei Mishkachas Rafka, if somehow that there will be an ability for the second Shvua to become valid, Chayla, it will take effect. Ask the Gemara, what is this teaching us? Again, L'chad Rava, what for Halacha that Rava taught us. D'amar Rava, Shem Nishal Al Rishayna. If somebody has the first Shvua annulled, that means now there is no problem that the second Shvua could be Chal, because what was preventing the second Shvua from taking hold? The existence of the first Shvua. But now that the first Shvua is no longer in effect, also like Shnei Tachter, the second Shvua comes into play. But again, the Rishonim point out, this is only in a situation of annulment. Because we really know that two ways a Shvua can become annulled. One is by a husband, and one is by a Chacham. Only a Chacham has the ability to be matted in Shvua, that it was never a Shvua. So therefore, the first Shvua was never a Shvua, and the second Shvua now could have taken place. But a husband who doesn't do that, a husband only goes mekana lahaba, that from now on the Shvua you don't have to follow. But the original Shvua is a Shvua. In such a case, it would not be possible for the second Shvua for the second Shvua to take hold, because it's not that the first Shvua was really completely erased. Furthermore, interesting question that the Rishonim discuss. Now that we're saying that there is some purpose in the second Shvua, the purpose being in case that the first Shvua will fall away, as we just explained, will the second Shvua take hold? So the Rishonim debate, if so, can one be matter the second Shvua before he was matter the first Shvua? On one hand, we could say, we see that it does have some meaning, and a Shvua that has meaning could be annulled. On the other hand, one can make the argument that since that Shvua doesn't really have any practical application until the first Shvua is annulled, there is no point in annulling the second Shvua. Lemim Sile, and the Gemara wants to bring a riot to this halacha. The halacha is Mishan of the Beis Naziris, if somebody took upon himself to observe two terms of Naziris. Umana Rishina, he counts the first term, Vifashalak Karban, and then, and he brings, and he even separates the kabbonis, and then v'akach nishal rishayna, he has the first term annulled. Also l'shnei rishayna, he doesn't have to keep a second term. Normally, what such a person would have to do is keep two terms, two successive terms. Here, since the first term ended up being annulled, we say his observance of the Shneziris is accomplished with that observance. Here too, so we see the second one takes hold. Here too, if the first shvu is annulled, the second shvu takes hold. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. Hachi hashta. Hashtam b'Naziris mi'isa. When somebody took upon himself two terms of Naziris, he's indeed obligated to keep two terms of Naziris. And therefore, the chimoner l'rishayna, when he finishes counting the first term, he has to keep the second term, even if the first term wasn't annulled. Because he was obligated from the beginning to keep two terms. Just he couldn't keep two terms at the same time, so he keeps them successfully. Successfully. One after the other. Hacha, however, here, shvu shnimi is a klal. If the first shvu will never be annulled, then the second shvu will never take hold. Not like the case of Naziris, where under all circumstances, the second Naziris will take hold. And therefore, the two situations cannot be compared.